Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for this precious portion of scriptures and the promises it contains. Not only, Lord, sweet promises, but also, Lord, what a challenge. Lord, thank you for these heart-probing questions, Lord, following verse number 13. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you move deeply in the hearts of each and every Christian here. Dear Lord, we are debtor. Lord, we don't owe you a debt as far as for our salvation, because salvation is a free gift. But we owe a debt to those that told us about Jesus. And the way we pay that debt is to tell somebody else about Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would do it not out of obligation, but because of our love for you, because of the gratitude that we have for what you've done in our lives, Lord. May we be gospel witnesses. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. If I can get some young men to help me, I'm going to try to get one of these papers to everybody. If I can have married couples share one, and then fifth grade on up can get one of these. Fifth grade on up. If you're fourth grade and under, if there's some left over, we'll have them on the back counter back there. But I just made 100, didn't realize the kids were going to be in here. I know how to blow my nose with the microphone here and not gross everybody out. Sorry about that. But I want to send this home with you because I'll explain in a few minutes why. And it'll help you to be able to prepare to win souls to Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to continue our training on soul winning, how to win somebody else to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you haven't got one, would you raise your hand and they'll come to you? All right, guys, we got a whole bunch of them up here, a whole bunch of folks up here. Ian, we got a whole bunch of folks up here. Raise your hand high so they can see it, so they can see it. Two young men over here. All right, thank you so much, guys. Thank you. You're doing a good job. Right over there. Right over there. Okay, we got them up there. Good, good. Put your hand up if you didn't get one. I don't want to miss anybody. All right. Sister Darla back there on the left. Guys, look around. If I can see them, you ought to be able to see them. All right. Very good. Thank you. All right. Anybody else? All right. Fantastic. The Bible says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you might be saved. You just got to wait till you get to heaven and see whether or not God decides he's going to let you in or not. No, nope, that's not what it says. It says that thou shalt be saved. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, here it is, shall be saved. Aren't you glad for the doctrine of the assurance of your salvation? And God wants you to know, and you can know for sure that you are saved and that you're on your way to heaven. These things are written that we may know that we have eternal life. And so we want to go over some training. Tonight's going to be very practical. And I'm going to maybe hurry through just parts of it. But I want to go ahead and let you know this. When we get to the back page, which you're not there yet, because Baptists don't read ahead. They don't. They listen. They look up here. They don't spend their time staring at the paper. And they don't do that. That's why I can hand these papers out with great confidence that I won't lose your attention as if you're a fourth grader. Amen. And so stay with me tonight, all right? And Brother Clarence is here with us tonight. This is my limo driver. We'll say more about that at the end of the service. So when we get done with this, we're going to have y'all sit down. If I forget, wave at me. And Brother AJ put together this video. You're not going to believe it. And anyway, we don't want to get, I'm trying not to do much of that on live stream, okay? I got enough rumors going off on around the country about Jerry Ross. I'm trying to really minimize everything I can. So now this front page where we have the contact and the conversation, the testifying, the testimony and the question, I'm not going to spend much time on that because Brother Nichols did a real good job in laying the groundwork for these things. But folks, listen to me. If we're going to win other people to the Lord Jesus Christ, there has to be a contact. That's a human being on a human being. Okay? Somebody's got to be the witness and somebody needs the witness. And so we got to pray for that Holy Spirit boldness. And don't let fear be that thing that keeps you from winning somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, I don't know how to do it, and I don't know what to say, and I don't know where to turn to my Bible. Well, that's why we're doing training, because there was a time I didn't know any of those things either. But you know what I decided? I didn't want to live my life, be born and die and be a Christian and stand before God and not bring somebody else with me. And I wanted to know. I decided to go to a year to Bible college before I was called to preach for one reason, and that was to learn how to be a better soul winner. Because I thought, well, I'll be a layman and I'll work a regular job. And I had some things I thought I'd get into. But the one thing I realized was this. You know what? It's worth a year of Bible college just to go and learn to be a better soul winner. And then God ended up calling me to preach. I ended up having to, you know, stay and get trained and all of that. But I made the decision initially to go to Bible college just so that I could learn to be a better soul winner. Now, contact, we have that. Let me just say, give you a couple practical things underneath that. Folks, when you knock on the door, you know, one of the things that you need to learn to develop is people skills. Okay? You got to learn how to carry on a conversation. Listen, be personable with people. I wrote this, be genuine, sincere, prayed up, compassionate, and be real. You don't have to be me. I don't need to try to be you. Just be who God made you to be, but care enough about the person. You got to develop. Preacher, I'm not a real good conversationalist. Okay, then hide behind that excuse for the rest of your life, Moses. Or you could just do what God called you and told you to do and realize that he can help you develop that. Clearly introduce yourself. Ask for their name. Now, one of the things I teach and real practical, and again, I'm not getting in deep into this, but when you go over and knock on the door, go up and knock on the door, but then always take about three steps back like this. Folks, we don't live in the same world we lived in the 1960s and 70s. And a lot of times ladies are home by themselves. And you know what? People are just a little more apprehensive about people they don't know knocking on their door. And I literally take three steps back if there's room and I don't fall off the porch. And a lot of times if it's a short thing, I'll take a step down and be on the second step. And when they come to the door, they're kind of like this. And hey, how you doing? Now, next thing is, when you got those soul winning packets, Operation Occupation, you got a soul winning packet in your hand, man, the first thing you do is hold it up like that and clearly introduce yourself so they know who you are and why you're there and that you're from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So immediately, okay, these are church folks. And so that way you can set them at ease, or you can give them the signal to slam the door. Either way, it's all good. Because there's another door, and then there's another door, and somewhere somebody wants to hear about Jesus, amen. Conversation, Brother Nichols covered that. Testify, let me jump down to that. After the opening conversation, return to the purpose of your visit. Mrs. Jones, okay, that's who we're talking to. Like I said earlier, I'm visiting from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'd like to share two quick things with you. The first is a gift from our church. You've got that envelope, you've got that. It's got every one of our packets. It's going to have some kind of gift in it. And also gospel material. And one of the first thing you want to do is get that into their hands. Now, I'll tell you this. When I go to the door, I want to give the gospel three times. Okay, that's my goal. I might not only be able to give it once. I might get it twice. I might get it three times. I might not be allowed to give it at all. But if I get the packet in their hand, even if they're in a hurry or they don't want to talk and they shut the door, they have the gospel in their hand. So I'm giving it to them in printed form. Next thing I do is try to share my testimony. And now I've already had a conversation. You can go back and review number two. I've talked to them a little bit, got to know them, find out where they go to church. Try to find some of their interests as I'm walking up to the door and something to compliment, something to talk to them about. If you're a good listener, then they won't mind listening to you. And sharpen up your conversation skills. And then I'll say, I'm here for two quick things. I want to give you this gift from our church. Hope you enjoy it. Then the second thing I'd like to share with you is my personal testimony. Now, I never ask them, would you like to hear my personal testimony? I just tell them, the second thing I'd like to do is share my testimony with you. And I go right into my testimony. I said, I wasn't born into a church family. My folks didn't go to church. I wasn't born into a Christian family. But, we moved from Greencastle to Brazil, Indiana, and crossed the road with some Christian folks. And we had good neighbors, and they kept inviting us to church. And you know what? Finally, we went. And that's where I heard for the first time the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ma'am, that's where I learned that I could know for sure I was going to heaven. And it was the most wonderful day in my life, the day that I was born again, the day that I was saved. And then I go right into the question. Now, listen, how long did that testimony take? Okay, I mean, it didn't take long. Okay, this isn't the time you're going through every verse. This is the time you're telling them what I want to talk to you about. I needed somebody to talk to me about it. Remember, when you're talking to lost people, we're talking across to them, not down to them, okay? And a lot of times people think, well, here's church people, and they're here to preach at me or put me down. And I've already established to them, hey, there was a time I was lost. There was a time I didn't know Jesus as my Savior. I went to church, and I heard how I could know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. And then, Mrs. Jones, let me ask you a question. What about eternity? If you were to die today, do you know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? And then wait for them to answer. Some of them will say, no, I don't. I don't know that for sure. Some of them will say, yes. If they say yes, you say, well, let me ask you this. Tell me about the day that you got saved. I told you a little bit about when I got saved. When were you born again? Now, some of them are going to say, well, I was baptized at, or I joined a church at, and that just told you what they're trusting in to get them to heaven. And so always compliment that. So, baptism is a wonderful thing. It's in the Bible. And you know what? It's great to know, to go to church and to be a member of a church. But I said, when I started attending church, I realized that it wasn't baptism and it wasn't church attendance that was going to get me to heaven, that I had to be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Ma'am, could I take the Bible and just take a few minutes and show you what that means? What it means to be saved, what it means to be born again. Now, folks, listen to me. You're a guest at their house, okay? And you ought to always keep that in mind. If they say, well, no, I don't have time for that, and I've gone my way somewhere, and they make an excuse. Folks, one of the things that you'll learn is this. Soul winning is a lot of planting, and it's a lot of watering. It's not always reaping. Okay? And so God may have you at that door just to plant the seed. You still already gave them a packet that they might read later. You told them about how you didn't know you were on your way to heaven, and you do now, and that they can know. And if you say, well, that's all I got out, and then they came up with an excuse, and listen, be gracious. If they don't have time, I'm a guest. If they say, I've got somewhere I got to really be, but thank you very much for coming, they start shutting the door. I'm not sticking my foot in the door. You do that at my house, I'll pull a gun on you. All right, remember you're in Greene County, Indiana, all right? Use some sense, people. Well, I want to be bold. Well, you can also be stupid, and you can turn people off, okay? And listen, here's the key. As you go out, say, Lord, I want to look for a prepared heart. I want to look for that person that you have ready to listen. And, remember, some of it's just planting. Most of it, look right up here, let me help you. Most of your visits is going to be planting and watering. It's not going to be reaping. But if you're faithful in planting and watering, and you're faithful in going, God will give you the opportunity every once in a while for that person to say, I've been thinking about that. Or, it's funny you should mention this. My mom just passed away a couple weeks ago, and she used to always talk. She went to church. I kind of dropped out, but she always talked to me about heaven, and I guess I would kind of like to know. Folks, listen, God's still working in people's hearts, and there's still things that are happening that you don't know about, and God has some people ready to be saved. And so, you know what? I don't force it. I don't try to cram it down their throat. But at the same time, you know, I want to at least go as far as they'll allow me to go. And so the question, and if they say, well, you know what? I don't know that for sure. And what I usually do, let me get this out of my pocket. What I usually do, this is a Soul Winner's New Testament. I had my wife order some more. I think we might have one or two in the bookstore. They're $20. But you know what? Soul winning is important. Okay, you men that have jobs and you need certain tools, you'll go out and pay up for a good tool. Now, I want to have a nice New Testament. I want to have a durable New Testament. I want to have a soul-winning New Testament, so it makes it easier for me to find the verses, and I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But what I'll do is a lot of times if they say, no, I don't know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven, I usually carry mine in my back pocket here because I usually don't have a suit coat on. They're a little bigger, but they'll fit right in your back pocket, gentlemen. And what I'll do is I'll pull the Bible out that time and I'll say, you know, when I didn't know for sure I was going to heaven, I had a preacher take a Bible and show me just a few verses, a handful of verses that told me how I could know for sure. And ma'am, I carry this Bible. And you know, the same verses he showed me, I've got them marked in my Bible. Would you just give me a few minutes so I can show you what God says and how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven? And again, folks, I've got the Bible open. I'm ready to go, you know, and sometimes they'll say, well, you know, they'll make an excuse. Oh, well, thank you so much for your time. I sure appreciate it. Hey, if you had the time, the verses that I would have shared with you, it's in that gospel track right there. You see in the packet there, that little gospel track? Would you read that for me later on when you do have the time? And sometimes, folks, that's as far as you're going to get. But listen, if we're rude, okay, or we're trying to play the Holy Spirit, or we offend somebody, and you know what? Then a year later when we're doing this again, somebody from the church stops, you may have just closed the door for the next person that has the opportunity. So listen to the Holy Spirit. He will help you. You've got to have Holy Spirit discernment and Holy Spirit guidance when it comes to soul winning. You may go soul winning with me sometime, and you may think, preacher, you should have pushed farther. Well, folks, when it's your turn, you listen to the Holy Spirit. But there's been times when I know I've gone as far as I can go with that person, and I just wish them a good day and try to leave a good taste in their mouth so that the next Christian has a chance. And there's other times when the Holy Spirit just bears witness with my heart that maybe I need to push a little. Listen, aren't you glad that the Bible says we can receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us, and we can be witnesses, and you've got to listen to the Spirit of God. And that doesn't mean every visit's going to be cookie cutter. But you use discernment as the Lord leads you. So we've got down to the question now. And let's suppose that person then says, yes, I would like to know for sure. You say, oh my goodness, preacher, if I got to that point, I wouldn't even know where to start. Well, the soul winning presentation, we'll look down at the bottom of the front page here. And one of the things I wrote down here was this: one of the best ways to help new soul winners is to teach them how to mark their New Testament so that they do not forget the proper order of the verses. Now, on the back page, we're going to go through the proper order of the verses. And if you'll remember the very first verse that you need to turn to, matter of fact, what I do is I have a soul winner's New Testament. One of the reasons I like it is because it has one of these ribbons. And I always keep that on Romans chapter number 3. Because that way it's real easy for me to find. I'm not flipping through trying to find the first verse. I'm just boom, right there, ready to go when they say, yes, I'd like to know. And then right beside Romans 3:10, you can write down just after that verse, 3:23. And that tells you the next verse you need to go to. This is how I learned, folks. I marked my, I don't have that now because I've done it enough that I know where to go the next verse is. But when I was starting out, I remember taking the very first soul winner's New Testament and marking Romans 3:10 so I could find it, and beside it write 3:23, and that told me the next verse in Romans to go to. And then after that, the next verse, and as we go on down. So you can literally, on each of your verses, write beside it the next. Well, aren't they going to wonder? Folks, they're not going to notice those things. Isn't it crazy the things the devil put in our mind that we're all worried about? If God's in on that encounter, you know what they're thinking of? They're thinking of, man, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. And, And I want to see, hear what the Bible says. They're not going to care if there's a 3.23. I've never had anyone say, what's the 3.23, all right? And so, you know, just go ahead and write it in there and don't worry about it, all right? Now, if you turn the page over, as soon as they give me permission to go through the Bible with them, I always start by saying there are four things we must know in order to go to heaven. And the first one, we want to state each one of these very specifically, okay? State the point. The first thing we must know is that we are sinners. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23. Now, folks, next week, I'm not going to go to every verse and I'm not going to go through it all. But next Wednesday night, Lord willing, we're going to do a soul winning demonstration. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have somebody come up on the platform and I'm going to knock on the door and I'm going to go through the whole thing. And I'm not going to stop and do a lot of teaching or explaining. I'm just going to go through it as if I was winning someone to Christ. And you'll be able to watch it and follow along in your New Testament. And you'll be able to see me win somebody to Christ. You say, well, who are you going to use? Well, I've been so concerned about Brother Nichols. And I think he's saved. I'm not sure for sure. But we're going to make sure next Wednesday night we're going to go through the plan. You pray for him, folks, that he might get saved. It'd be nice if Tabitha had a Christian husband. Amen. Read Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then right over, Romans 3:23. Why is there none righteous? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why there's none righteous. You know why? Because we're all sinners. Now, folks, again, I wrote number C here. Mr. Jones, do you realize you've sinned? I know that I've sinned. Man, use the word we, okay? You need to understand you're a sinner. No, we need to understand that we're sinners. Again, we're talking across to them, not down to them. Now, a lot of times, depending on the information that I've gotten from them in our initial conversation and their response to these verses. Listen, you got to learn to read body language. Okay? If somebody kind of looks at you like, well, I don't think I'm that bad, or they even might say that. Sometimes somebody I'll knock on the door and I'll try to give them a pack and they'll say, I'm Catholic. How many times did that happen to you? And that's just, once they say that, that's all they're, it's supposed to be over, you know, because they just told you they were Catholic. And I said, well, that's exciting. I said, I'm Baptist. And I said, guess what? I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist and you're not going to heaven because you're a Catholic. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I said, let me ask you this question. Have you been born again? And don't just take now, you say, well, that's going to offend them. That might run them off. Well, run them off to where? Hell number two, hell number three. I mean, folks, listen to me. At some point, that has to be challenged in their thinking. And if that's all the farther you get, the Holy Spirit has something to work with. Because they got to lay it down at night and they got to think about that later on. The Holy Spirit say, wait a minute, just being a Catholic don't get you to heaven? The man said he was a Baptist. And he said that didn't get him to heaven. Again, am I preaching down to him or across to him? Okay, listen, you may be here tonight and you may be a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And if you're trusting in that to go to heaven, that's not going to get you to heaven. Okay, and you can go through every catechism class the Catholic Church offers. And you know what? Unless you've been born again, you're not going to heaven. And so the first point is, now, if I sense that there is a self-righteousness, some people, you just see, they're convicted right away. They know that they're a sinner. They understand it. They don't argue back. They don't push back on it. They're like, yeah, preacher, you're right. You know, I know that I've done a lot of things that I shouldn't have done and a lot of things against the Bible. And there's Holy Spirit activity there. But if there's a little bit of self-righteousness or I don't think I'm as bad as other people, I've written down in our presentation, you know, it is important how a person feels about their sin, folks. In Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, I'm going to use this next week, so I'm not going to have you turn there now, but that's the story of the Pharisee who came to the temple and the publican that came to the temple. And both of them prayed a prayer. And Jesus said only one of them left justified. And by the way, it gives you a chance in that story to deal with a religious man trusting his religion, a self-righteous man, that all he wanted to talk about was how good he was and how bad somebody else was. And if I sense that that person is not willing to acknowledge their sinful state, I'm going to flip over and go through that story with them. And so that would be something that you can use. And then number two, there's a penalty on our sin. State the point. The second thing you must know is that there's a penalty on our sin. Romans 5:12, and we'll go through this next week. And then Romans 6:23, and I put a little A beside that one. For the wages of sin is death. Now that's all of the verse I'm going to read on this point. By the way, the next point, I'm going to go back and read the entire verse. But I'm trying to make a point that the wages of sin, there's a penalty of sin, and that penalty is death. Romans 5:12 and Romans 6:23 say that. Now, folks, this is one of the things I think is important, and I've always deviated from staying in the book of Romans because I feel like you need to get somebody thoroughly lost. Okay, they say the wages of sin is death. Oh, yeah, okay. In their mind, they might be thinking, well, yeah, that's why we have funeral homes and cemetery. Everybody dies. So they need to understand death doesn't just mean a physical death, the death of your body. There is something called the second death. And so I'll do that next week. But I'll say, Mrs. Jones, you know what? The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's not just talking about our body dying. Did you know back in the book of Revelation, it talks about the second death? And then we'll go to Revelation 21:8. Again, sometimes if I feel like they need a little more convincing, right on the same page, Revelation chapter 20. And it talks about that great white throne judgment. Folks, listen to me. By the time I get done with point number one and point number two, I can pretty much tell you where that person is. Whether they're really ready to be saved or whether they're not, whether they're pushing back, whether they're kind of going, and whether or not God's in it or not. But I'm going to tell you something. If you'll thoroughly go through the first two points and you watch the body language and you stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, a lot of times you can see that person get to the point where they realize, I am a sinner and that sin is against God. And I am on my way to hell because I've never done anything about it. And when you get a person to that point, boy, the next two points are good news. And a lot of times after point number two, I'll say, you know, I told you there's four things. The first two things are kind of rough. But man, I've got some good news. You know the word gospel means good news? Let's look at the last two points, and then you can go into the rest of the presentation, okay? And Revelation 21:8, again, we'll do some of this next week. It talks about that second death, which is the lake of fire. And so then I review real quick. C underneath number two. So we see that because we have sinned, if we receive what we deserve, we would die and be sent to this lake of fire. Now the good news. Number three, Jesus loved us so much that he paid the price of sin for us. Now state the point. The third thing we must know is that Jesus Christ paid the price of sin for us. Now we go back to Romans 6:23 and we read the whole thing. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so then we go to Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, and stress that those closing four verses, Christ died for us. And then explain to them exactly what that means. And again, we'll do that next week where you can look at it. And then when we get to that point, say, okay, well, Jesus paid for my sins, and he's willing to forgive me, well, then what do I need to do? That's where we go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, where we started tonight in our Bible reading. Verse number 9, Romans 10, 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. By the way, just don't rush through that. I always stop after that verse and I said, now listen, the Bible says in order for a person to be saved, it says in this verse two things. They have to be willing to confess with their mouth that they believe that Jesus is the Lord Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus was the Son of God? Do you believe Jesus was God the Son? If they're not willing to, if they say, well, I don't know about that, well, they can't be saved. If they're not willing to confess it with their mouth, isn't that what it says? Yes, sir. And then it says, listen, I can hear what you say, but you know, the next part says, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And I'll say, listen, with all of your heart, do you believe Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day? Do you believe that with your heart? And again, folks, watch their body language and listen to the bearing witness of the Holy Spirit, okay? And then I'll go on to verse number 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Salvation, folks, occurs in the heart of a man, okay? And then it says, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, if you truly believe something in your heart, you're not ashamed to say it out loud. Okay, and if you probably are ashamed to say it out loud, you really don't believe it in your heart. And then we jump down to verse 13, for whosoever, and I always stop and linger on that word. You know, Mrs. Jones, I've just met you for the first time today, but I know one thing for sure. You know what? Jesus died for you, and Jesus loves you, and God loves you, and you know what? He wants to save you because he did it for whosoever. You can put your name right in there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and again, shall be saved. Okay? And so after that, I go back to my testimony. A lot of times at that point, I'll be on Romans chapter number 10. I'll have just read verse number 13. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll close my Bible right there, but keep my finger in it. And I'll say, you know, I started the conversation by telling you that there was a day that I didn't know for sure that I was going to heaven. And the same verses that I shared, the same truths a preacher shared with me in that day, I realized I was a sinner, and I realized that sin was against God, and I was sorrowful over that sin. And you know what? I also realized that if I didn't do something about it, if I got what I really deserved, I'd spend eternity in a devil's hell. But I was so glad that the preacher shared good news with me, that I was part of the whosoever that Jesus died for, and that when he died on the cross, he put all of my sins on himself and paid for all of those sins. And you know what? He's willing to forgive me. He's willing to adopt me into his family. The Bible says that we must confess with our mouth our belief in Jesus, the fact that he is the Lord. And we must believe with our heart. And that day I did with all of my heart, all the faith I had as a little boy, I put in the Lord Jesus Christ that day for salvation. And I prayed and asked him to be my Savior. Mrs. Jones, let me ask you something. Do you not understand that you're a sinner? Do you understand that you don't do something about it, that the penalty of that is going to be forever in hell? Do you realize how much God loved you, that he didn't want you to go there and he sent his son to die on the cross for you? Do you realize that he's right now wanting you to be saved, wanting to hear you call out to him? If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried and rose again, do you know if you'll just simply ask him for that gift of eternal life, he'll give it to you? And folks, it's a wonderful thing when you get to give that much of the gospel. Again, it's getting harder and harder to get people to take the time to listen to anything nowadays. But if you'll stay persistent from time to time, you'll run into that prepared person who's willing to let you go through the entire plan, who God has the heart ready. And I'll always say something. I think I've got it written down here. I'll say something along the lines of, Jesus Christ would be willing to save you just the way you are. And if it would help you, if I would help you, would you be willing to pray and ask him to save you right now? If they say, yes, I would like to do that, I'll say, would you like to pray on your own, or would you like me to help lead you in prayer? You can understand, folks, some people have never prayed before. They don't know how to pray. Some people are just timid, and they're under conviction. They're not sure what to say. But if I do lead them in a prayer, I always say, listen, these aren't magic words, and just repeating them doesn't save you. You know what? I'll lead you in the sinner's prayer, but when you pray, you need to pray it to God and mean it with all of your heart, okay? And a lot of people are glad to have the help because they want to be saved, but they're not sure what to do. They're not sure what to say. And then you take them through the sinner's prayer. We'll do that and show you next week. And we're going to talk a little bit next week about assurance also. I'm not going to go through that last little section down there, but preacher, what happens once they get saved? What do I do then? We'll talk a little bit about that next week. Now, everybody look right up here, and we're done, okay? But everybody look right up here. You know what? There's somebody that God has for you to win to Christ. And you're the only person on this planet that's going to be able to win them. Okay, I want you to take that home with you. Okay, and if you don't win them, nobody's going to win them. If you don't win them, the blood's going to be on your hand. And folks, there's that needs to be a motivation for us. Every single one of us I have been commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You're going to meet people I don't meet. You're going to have opportunity. You're going to build relationships that I can't build. Hey, the preacher can't follow up on all your family, friends, and everybody else. That's not my job. My job is to teach you to have a passion for the souls and in your circle of influence to be a gospel witness. Now, this is exciting. This is exciting. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I'm going to have you bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to talk to you for a couple minutes, okay? So bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Some of you here today say, preacher, you know what? I've already in my life had the privilege of winning somebody to Christ. And by the way, that's a wonderful thing. I mean, amazing. I can still remember the first person I ever won to Christ and how incredible that felt. That here I started a conversation with somebody, and when I started that conversation, they were on their way to hell. And when we finished and I left, they were a born-again brother in Christ. I can still remember the guy's name. I can still remember where I was. There's just nothing like winning that first soul to Christ. And some of you have done that. Some of you used to be a soul winner, and you've backslid in that area of your life. Let's call it what it is. You've backslid in that area of your life. It's been, for some of you, months or years since you've ever witnessed to anybody. And you know how to do it. You've done it before. And you know what? Listen, I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm saying let's get back in the game. Let's get back into it, okay? Well, there's people that still need Jesus. For many of you, maybe a lot of you, you say, preacher, I've never won somebody to Christ in my life. You know, I hope that your prayer tonight would be, you know what, God, let me win somebody. I mean, sometime in my lifetime, let me work at this. Let me study these verses. Let me practice this with my Bible. And let me be able to win somebody to Christ. Lord, I don't want to show up one of these days before you and not bring somebody with me. And so wherever you find yourself, folks, it's fine. But wherever you find yourself, you know what? Don't stay there. Even if you are actively soul winning and it's been a while since you won someone to Christ, come on. And the honest truth is you've reverted back to visitation instead of soul winning. It's time to get back into being a soul winner. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to our hearts before the invitation. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You would please work in our hearts. Lord, I just think all over this community, this many people tonight, I just believe that there's people out there that need Jesus as their Savior. And Lord, You've commanded us all to be soul winners, to go out and be witnesses for You. So Lord, I pray for that one that maybe has been held back by fear. I remember what that was like. And how hard it was for me at the start to just talk to people about the Lord. And that spirit of fear, the Bible says the fear of man is a snare. And the devil would like to keep us in that snare. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help give us that Holy Spirit unction and Holy Spirit boldness to speak up when we ought. Lord, for that one that's backslidden and gotten away from soul winning, I pray, Lord, they'd get back into it. For that one that doesn't know how and they're learning for the first time tonight, I pray, Lord, they'd get in it. And Lord, that You'd help them, dear God. And Lord, I remember as I was learning and going for the first time and listening to the other person and scared to death I might have to talk. But Lord, thank You, dear God, that You were able to get me through all that. And I know You're able to help anybody that makes this their passionate request, their passionate prayer for God to use them to win souls. And Lord, I pray that You'd bless this time of training tonight. We pray in Jesus' name.